want to make sure you're awake, George. We do love you down here. That's what grace is all about. God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. So we love you by the grace of God. There you go. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house at this moment. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ paying our sin debt on the cross, a debt that I could never pay. I thank you for coming to me when I couldn't come to you and offering me the precious gift of salvation. Father, I pray for wisdom this morning. Wisdom is applying the Word of God to every situation, every scene, every relationship, every circumstance in your life. And the Bible says that we as God's people need God's wisdom to live by, that the will of God may be carried out, what God wants. Father, I thank you for what is before us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your agenda. I thank you that you're in control of all things at all times. And I pray this morning, as we focus upon wisdom to begin with, giving us the foundation that is needed as we gradually go to the printout. It is things that I've never thought about. I've never seen it this way. I've thought about it, but I realize something that is very important here. All of your word is important, but it seems there are times there is a special importance. And I pray that everyone here this morning will be given spiritual ears to hear, that as they receive that which is spiritual, it will have a spiritual application in their lives. That they may realize that we live by the grace of God and by the power of God. For Christianity is a supernatural life, and we cannot live it without the supernatural power of Almighty God. So take that word wisdom as we begin. Begin to work it into our brain and into our heart. Give us the understanding that is needed as we proceed to what follows. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles as we begin this morning and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. There's a word this morning that I want to focus on. In fact, it is going to launch us into the printout that we all have, and a few more notes that you don't have. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now, I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Study Bible. So if this is just a little bit different from what you have, I want you to understand that. But I believe you can follow along with whatever translation that you have. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs, truths obscurely expressed, maxims. Underline that word maxims if you have it, or if you don't, you might want to write it down somewhere on your paper. Maxims. Concise formulation of a fundamental principle or rule. Concise formulation of a fundamental principle of rule. Now, underline the word fundamental. And if you don't have the word fundamental, please write it down, because the word fundamental means of major significance. So what we read in the book of Proverbs can be very pithy, very pointed, and very sharp. But everything you're going to read in the book of Proverbs is of major significance. The Proverbs, that is, truth obscurely expressed, maxims of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction, to discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior and the discipline of wise thoughtfulness, righteousness, justice, and integrity. Verse 4, that prudence, good judgment, astute common sense may be given to the naive or inexperienced who are easily misled, and knowledge and discretion, that is, intelligent discernment, to the youth. Verse 5, the wise will hear and increase their learning, and the person of understanding will acquire wise counsel and the skill to steer his course wisely and lead others to the truth. Now, I'm going to give you some more notes that you do not have, so I want you to just relax and listen. Proverbs. Proverbs means to rule. So proverbs are words and sayings that are to rule and govern life. Proverbs is a book of God's rules. Wisdom. Wisdom in Proverbs refers to a person's ability to make the right choices at the opportune times. Wisdom in Proverbs also refers to the words clever, skillful, sensible, thoughtful, wise, intelligent, and disciplined. Only a disciplined mind can see the pros and cons of an issue and be willing to learn by correction. Question: why is the wisdom of God so important? Wisdom is inspired depth perception into people, situations, and relationships. The wisdom of God enables us to penetrate the mysteries of God, His nature, His plan, and His purpose. Here's another question. Why is the wisdom of God absolutely necessary? Because all human beings need the training, the correction, and discipline that comes from God so we can carry out the will of God or what God wants. Now we're going to look at the three things I just named: God's nature, His plan, and His purpose. Let's look at God's nature. God is all-powerful. We know that. God is all-knowing. He's always been that way. God is everywhere present. God is all-sufficient. God is unlimited vision. He is unlimited energy. He is eternal happiness. Never afflicted with high or low emotions or influenced by anger, pride, deceit, or greed. This is the way I want to live my life. I don't want to be up today and down tomorrow. I don't want to be living life a roller coaster ride. I want to be someone who is steady. Can that happen? Yes. How does it happen? Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, for in its excess, but be filled, motivated, divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, if you're a Christian, you live the Christian life by the supernatural power of Almighty God. Then there's God's plan. God's plan is better than ours. He can see the future. We can't. We can only take educated guesses. God's purpose. The Father's greatest desire is for you to have a saving relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Once you have received His forgiveness, then you are ready to fulfill the rest of His plan for your life. Imagine living and thriving in God's plan for your life. It doesn't get any better than that. Listen a little more. Question: what is life all about? Being born, discovering absolute truth and absolute reality, in the person Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is getting us ready for the time He's going to call us home and give an account for our life. How confident are you about confronting death? Two things lie ahead of you, death and judgment. And remember, you cannot change them no matter what. Our time is allotted. Our time is given and assigned for a particular purpose. So the time that you and I live is a grace gift from Almighty God. Our time is designated. How much time has God given you to do all that He has called you to do? And if you are a child of God, He has called you to do something. We have a life to live and something to leave, and I need wisdom to live. I need God's wisdom to know what to leave behind that is going to be divinely inspired. God lets us live to have an influence, to make a difference in someone else's life, to get us ready, and to fulfill His purpose and plan for our life. How do you feel about your own death? Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, "A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death is better than the day of birth." Because a day of death in the life of a Christian is going to usher that Christian immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be in that intermediate state, your soul and your spirit, and there you will await a resurrected, glorified body. When the Father says to the Son, "Go get your children," Jesus is going to come back at the right moment. We call that the rapture of the church. Take your printout, please. You'll notice the title is Supernatural Power to Fight and Forgive. Now, the best fighters, Jesus says, are faithful men and faithful women. Let's begin with the introduction. The number one reason we get hurt in relationships is not, will you underline that little word, not, N-O-T. The number one reason we get hurt in relationships is not that we let people get close to us. It's that we let the wrong people come alongside us in life. Would you underline that word, wrong? There's right people and there are wrong people that you want at your side, help you living the Christian life. The Christian life that is acceptable unto holy God. The number one reason we get hurt in relationships is not that we let people get close to us. It's that we let the wrong people come alongside us in life. I ask myself the question, how do I know good people and how do I know wrong people? There's an answer. We'll come across that soon. We must learn, that is, learn from God's Word, to be careful about who gets close to us. Although we shouldn't judge people or be suspicious about them, it's essential that we stay sensitive. Underline the word sensitive, if you will. It means always developing awareness. Always developing awareness. So although we shouldn't judge people or be suspicious about them, it's essential that we stay sensitive. Always developing awareness to the Holy Spirit's leading. Would you just write Holy Spirit's leading? And would you write Ephesians 5:18? Remember that verse? We'll quote it again. Ephesians 5:18. "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled, motivated, influenced, divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God." Now get this. Although we shouldn't judge people or be suspicious about them, it's essential that we stay sensitive, always developing awareness to the Holy Spirit's leading. Now you have to get what is about to follow. "And let Him," who is Him? It is the Holy Spirit. The word before him is let. That is a choice that you have to make as a child of God as you live the Christian life. In other words, I choose under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to allow the people who the Holy Spirit chooses, please listen. I thought it was all about who I wanted to choose. You might have thought it was all about who you wanted to choose. If I like you, then come along my side. If I don't really like you, then you can just move away from me. I really don't need you in my life. Let's read it again. We must stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and let the Holy Spirit stop there. If I choose to let the Holy Spirit do something, then I need to be praying for that to happen. I need to say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I learned something this morning that I did not know. I thought I was to choose the people that would be best in my life. But you tell me that's not so. Only the Holy Spirit can choose the best people for you. And why is that so? Because the Holy Spirit is God. So therefore, being God, He knows what you do not know about individuals. And since He is God, if you ask Him, if you desire for this to happen and want it to happen, and say, Holy Spirit, I learned this morning, and I want this to happen. I want you to bring people that need to be along my side in my life that will help me live a life for Jesus Christ, because I'm not able to pick them. I'll make a big mistake. I'll judge them on the wrong things. So therefore, I depend upon God who is, here we go again, who is all-knowing and knows what's best for you in order to live the Christian life. So listen to this. He is saying, let me, the Holy Spirit, who is God, pick your friends for you. Make sense? I never really thought about it like that. We must stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and let Him. So He won't do this automatically. Is that correct? We have to let Him. We have to want the will of God to be done. And what is the will of God here? Choose my friends. It'll get deeper. And let Him bring about people alongside. So bring the right friends into my life. Lord, I'm fixing to start dating. Not really. Let me clarify that. So would you bring the right person into my life? This guy may come along, and boy, he may sing me a song. He may promise me the moon. But Heavenly Father, you can discern all of that. You can sort it all out. I can't. So I'm asking you, bring a man or woman into my life, whichever, that you want to walk by my side, that will be sensitive, that will be serious, that will take Christianity as it should be taken, and the joy of the Lord will fill his heart, so that joy will overflow upon me, the partner. So please send me somebody to date. And I know you're thinking, I'm 25, 28 years old, I'm 30 years old. Wait. Because if you pick the wrong man or woman, it can be a living hell. You let God do the picking, because God is God and He knows. I've had women come to me, wives, after they got married for years. They sit in the chair and they cry their hearts out and they say, Terry, my husband says I can't go to church anymore. He's done. I want you home. You don't need to be down there. What do I do? What would Jesus tell you to do? Go to church. Because one day, you and that husband is going to stand at the judgment seat. He may be lost. That's why he fights it. Pray for him. Pray for him. Hopefully the Lord will get a hold of him. And I've seen guys like that come and make the best church members. Pray, man or woman. Although we shouldn't judge people or be suspicious about them, it is essential that we stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and let Him, is something you should desire, let Him bring people alongside us whom we can trust and relate to. We need people with enough spiritual maturity to understand that we are normal with imperfections. And we need spirit-filled, character-rich combat fighters standing by our side. I got news for you. The church is for sick people and we're all sick. Amen. Essentially, Paul was saying, Timothy, the problem is not people. The problem is that you got close to the wrong group of people. Point one. Number one. God called men and women can start out great and then falter later in the race because they failed to lay hold of the grace of God. You're saved by grace. You know what grace is? God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. You're saved by grace because you can't save yourself. And you live by grace because it's God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. It is the supernatural power God gives to the child of the living God when He desires that so he may fulfill God's will. But there are times when people come alongside you who should not be there, number one, who were not called to walk with you in the first place. If a guy walks up to a gal, says, let's go on a date. Let's go do this and let's go do that. You may go that time, but when you get home, young lady, you better find some place of privacy and you better ask God real quick, is this the guy you want for me? Do I go out with him again? Back to the printout. Number two, whom you allow next to your side is very important. Hold the place. There's way too many young people and people that are dead today because they got with the wrong people. Whom you allow next to your side is very important. Let me add, it may cost you your life. Remember, you're placing a precious deposit, which is the Word of the living God, which carries great responsibility with it, from your own life and to them. God, will you give me the man or the woman that you want me to have so we can share the gospel together? So we will have within us a deposit that is precious, that is unlimited. There's no value I can place upon it. As husband and wife, we will witness the Word of the living God. For we realize in us is the greatest deposit that could ever be made, the Word of the living God, and the value of it. And we are just alike. We love Jesus Christ and we love one another and we love to pray and we love to study the Word of the living God. So therefore, you can count on us. We'll be faithful men and women and we'll do what you ask us to do.
And there's no fighting in the marriage. There's one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one solid commitment unto Jesus Christ.
Number three, you don't want to make a foolish mistake that may eventually wound you and hinder you from moving forward. Well, Brother Terry, I'm thinking about getting married. And mostly it's to the guy. That's why I'm leaning that direction. I said, do you love him? The girl has no problem explaining that one. I have asked that question to the guy, and I have had 10 or 15 minutes of silence. I said, do you know what love is? Well, we talk. I didn't ask you that. Do you love this girl? Or are you just in heat? You date somebody and you marry somebody, that when you walk down that aisle, there's a third person. His name is Jesus Christ. Marry someone that will help move you forward in God's plan, not His own. The marriage is not about the husband sitting on a throne, saying, would you come home, fix me something to eat? And she's worked from 9 to 5 that day. He has 2. You ain't the boss. Jesus Christ is the head of that house. Amen. And you, godly man, are to be under the headship and lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. You help her, whatever it takes. And you submit to Jesus Christ and say, teach me to be a better husband every day. So you don't want to make a foolish mistake that may eventually wound you and hinder you from moving forward in God's plan for your own life. Number four, seek the Lord about the people, that is reliable, faithful men and women, He has called. Man, that just blows my mind. God has called people to walk with you, to be faithful with you, to be reliable with you. So God already has designated people to put in your life. How many of you have prayed for that one? Father, I understand now that you tell me that there are people you have called, designated people, certain people, to help me live the Christian life. And when I falter, they're there to pick me up and encourage me and pray for me. It's not just anybody God wants with you. He wants faithful, reliable people while you date, all your friends, and you get married. And let me say this. There are some people in church you don't want to be around. They are not faithful and they are not reliable. They're just a mouth. Seek the Lord about the people. He has called to come alongside you in this season of your life. God says, I've got people for you right now of every age, whatever your age. Make certain you have His mind regarding the people to whom He wants you to entrust yourself. Question number one, who do we need in our lives other than Christ? Humble people, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The word poor means blessed are those who are 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who are spiritually bankrupt. In other words, I'm so spiritually bankrupt, I've got to depend on Him. I don't have a choice. And you know what? That should be your desire anyway. Humble Christian people who serve Jesus Christ. Early in life, you probably thought friends come a dime a dozen. But as life goes on and you mature, that is, advance in character, commitment, and responsibility, you realize that your list of genuine friends gets smaller and smaller. You know why? You're growing in commitment. You're growing in responsibility. And they're not. So what do? Not in a hateful way or spiteful way, but just say, you know what? It's time for me to depart company. Page 2, top of the page. 2 Timothy 2:2 once again says, the things, the doctrine, the precepts, the admonitions, the sum of my ministry. Who's talking here? Paul is. Which you have heard me teach, Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust as what? A treasure. What is he saying? Did Paul teach the Word of God? Yes. What is the Word of God? It's a treasure. And that treasure has been entrusted to you, the child of the living God. You must affix, now listen to this, the things you heard from me while you were next to my side, get out there and do for others. You must affix your life to a new group of people. How many times have parents said to their teenagers, you're going to have to leave that group of people. They're not good for you. It doesn't mean you're any better than they are. Never think that. But God has a designated group of people for you, even at that age in your life. Notice Paul emphasized faithfulness and not ability. Paul didn't say commit to qualified men. That may surprise you. Because what do we do in church today? He's qualified, she's qualified, she's qualified. Put them on this committee and put them on that committee. God says, don't you dare do it that way. Right, Joy? He said, Timothy, look for faithful men and women. They're the ones that'll stay with you when things go sour and get bad. When there's hardship and adversity, they're going to have stickability and stability. Why? Because they are faithful unto God to begin with. That's the qualification. Not do you have the ability, but are you faithful? The just shall live by faith. And every decision made at Hainesville Baptist Church should be made from faith that has been bathed in prayer. If we do what God wants us to do, He will provide. Back to the printout. Paul is saying, choose those who will seek the mind of God, and the mind of God is the Word of God, the Bible. The mind of God in every situation in life. You might want to make this note. Every scene of life has eternal consequences. Everything you do here has eternal consequences. Question number one. Does God care how we treat others? Yes. Number two. Does God use our attitudes toward others and our treatment of others as a measuring rod for promotion? Yes. Number three, is how we treat others a mark of our maturity or lack of maturity? I'll let you answer that one. Number four, does everyone live with eternity in view? Sad to say, no. Number five, does everyone live their lives conscious and aware of God's divine presence? No. That's why we must make wise choices in the selection of our close friends and associates, listen to this, who are already called. Now that blows my mind. God's got people standing out there waiting on you to make the call for God's committed people, called people, to come along your side. Dwayne, you miss your wife, don't you? Did you know God has people prepared for this moment He knew was going to happen in your life? They've already been provided. So what do we do, church? We pray, God, bring them in to Dwayne's life. Amen. There should never be a moment that you feel let down after knowing this, because God's got somebody to pick you up. Amen. That's why we must make wise choices in the selection of our close friends and say, God, are these the one that you've already selected? And associates. Otherwise, we open ourselves up to hurts and wounds that can infect our hearts and remove us temporarily and sometimes even permanently from our personal fight of faith to fulfill God's call on our lives. Now, I want you to listen to this, and then I'm done. If you live without God in this life, you will live without God in the next life. For there is life beyond the grave.
Amen.
For the Christian, it's a great new destination into the presence of God. For the unbeliever, beyond the grave, you go to shore. It's a holding pen. There you'll be tortured to a limit until the great white throne judgment. Then you'll stand at that great white throne judgment as an unbeliever. I don't care what you cry out or all the excuses. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is real. And guess how long that will be? Forever and ever and ever. So if you live without God in your life, without Jesus Christ in this life, you will live without them in the next life. Because, brother, it ain't over when it's over. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for wisdom. From this wisdom, we were able to gain a little more understanding of your plan. And a little more understanding that you have already called people to come along our side in every scene of our lives. And nobody's going to be without or do without people because God's in charge. And God knows everything that's happening and where it's happening. And He says, don't give up. Don't lose heart. For help is on the way if it's not already there. So, Lord, would you help us to pray from here on? I'm in this season of my life, He says, I know. And I've already provided for it. So when you get down and out and don't know what to do and you get nervous, you get antsy, you start wanting to make your own decisions, just settle it down. Go back to Ephesians 5:18. For that's my word. And I'll be there. I'm always there. And I will bring the people into your life that need to be brought at that moment. For they will help you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.